Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help, you save.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast. Rather, listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast or the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football Feed. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling on a cold, dreary, low scoring Monday morning. We didn't do the show last night. I guess I honestly, I don't even ask anymore when one of these fucking guys needs to bail on a Sunday night. But to be honest, I mean, can't really say I'm all that upset about it. The spread between what was required to win and lose in cash games yesterday, about the narrowest I've ever seen, honestly. Sammy scored 101 points, and I scored 93 points. And I'm going to guess that, Sammy, that six-point difference, I'm going to guess you won basically every contest at 101 points.
Yeah, I looked through my shit, and it was all green. Like, completely green. I was like, oh, man, like, my team sucked. I don't get it.
Well, and the reason I know that is because my team, despite being pretty bad, was actually winning for most of the afternoon until I believe it was that Dulcich ended up outscoring Dalton Schultz is what ended up, meaning that my team didn't make any money. But, I mean, really, yesterday, as far as I am aware, I don't ever recall a slate being that low in cash. I mean, Nate has a more eidetic memory for these things. But, Nate, like, I don't remember sub 120 ever cashing the massive $50 double up ever.
No, it has to be one of our lowest ever. I even in tournaments, I just couldn't believe how low and how little you needed to do and have things go right for you to profit well. So
what, yeah, 180 won the spy. 180 points took down the big spy.
Man, like, 180 points seems like an ass load on this slate. I don't know how this guy got there.
And the funny thing was, ownership wasn't as correlated as, or it wasn't as strongly as congested as you think it would be. Like, it was just a low scoring.
No one like, scored any points. It wasn't about, I mean, all the chalk did fail to like an unbelievable degree, but yeah, I mean, just no one scored any points. So let's go over our teams real quick. Sammy won our three man with 101.64 points. He played Daniel Jones, Damian Pierce, David Montgomery, CeeDee Lamb, Terry McLaurin, Paris Campbell, Dalton Schultz, Joe Mixon, the Steelers defense. I played Josh Allen, Damian Pierce, David Montgomery, Stephon Diggs, Terry McLaurin, Paris Campbell, Dalton Schultz. Originally, I had Greg Dulcich in the flex with the Steelers defense. I swapped that to Kendall Hinton and the Raiders defense, which actually outscored Dulcich in the Steelers defense, so won me a couple shekels back. Not enough, because Dalton Schultz got outscored by Dulcich. That's how fine the margins were. And Nate just didn't swap. He played, but you, Nate, you played. Oh, so you played Ramondre over.
I played Ramondre and Lamb.
Nate's lineup for the first time, and it's incredible.
I played Ramondre and CeeDee over Diggs and Montgomery.
Right. Okay. So, which is, I think that was a reasonable 2v2. Honestly, the worst team in this three man is Sammy's. Sammy's team.
What?
Sammy, your team sucks.
You guys are such freaking betas. When we go into roster construction, I just don't know how you guys can justify to yourselves what you put out there on this slate. I don't understand.
I mean, you played Daniel freaking Jones, and you got I mean, literally, this Josh Allen moving stadiums with this matchup, like in this spot.
You ran hotter than the goddamn sun. And most importantly, I want this officially on the record. Sammy, you played mentally fucking weak. The reason why you played Daniel Jones, the reason why you played CeeDee Lamb to get fucking Joe Mixon in is because you were just afraid of playing two tight ends. Just call a spade a spade. Admit it to the people. You were afraid of rolling out the double tight end lineup.
And while I should have been, playing two tight ends was ass, and they all sucked, and you got buried because of it. I can't believe that guys are
all the tight ends. It just was a matter of picking the right ones because Knox smashed, Dulcich did fine, and Freiermuth smashed.
Sammy, the only reason you won is because of Daniel Jones. The reality is you paid down at QB and still faded Diggs, and you faded the Bills.
You ran like 99th percentile hot here.
No,
if I was going to pay down at QB, it was going to be to get to Diggs over CD. The fact that you guys had zero Bills exposure and came out with a win.
You guys are outside of your minds. Here's what you did. You paid up for Josh Allen. Have you seen Josh Allen splits before and after the UCL? I'll bet you two haven't, games. but they're
two
shitty.
Games? Are we really making NFL DFS decisions on two game sample size?
Yeah, when you have a partially torn UCL, you're goddamn right I am. Secondly, the goddamn Bills are moving. They barely got out of town. They're like snowed in. Everything's a complete disaster. They're not able to practice. And you guys paid up for this, man?
You played Daniel Jones in a fucking windstorm, Sammy. It was...
Daniel Jones is an alpha. I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
Oh, my God.
Yo, look at the rushing stats. And, of course, Daniel Jones just rushes the ball in on the first... on the first fucking play. On this kind of slate, you cannot play two tight ends. You can't do it. And you paid up for a broken quarterback who almost didn't make it to the game on a team that didn't practice. This is y'all's bad. This was a terrible idea. You put all your chips in the Bills basket. And if you were paying attention at all, that was not the right thing to do. All you did was say, it's a dome. Like, they're going to smash. Nah, dude. Nah.
No, I think you're so wrong. This is the most you have ever leaned into. It's more of an art, bro. Because Sammy, if any of that was true, if any of what you just said was true, the billion-dollar industry of sports betting would have had different lines and totals for the Bills, and they did not. The total rose 9 points when it moved to the dome. The Bills had the highest team total of the slate. Like, you're not the only person on earth who has access to Josh Allen's before and after UCL splits. Like, this is just, you ran hot. Devin Singletary happened to score a rushing touchdown close in. Like, it just, you just simply ran hot. You that's all that it is.
You know, you can sit here and tell me that, but I just need to let you know, buddy, sometimes it's a little more of an art. You know, the Vegas teams are running the lines through the algorithm. Buddy, you got to see the forest for the trees.
If you wanted to actually criticize Daniel Jones.
Daniel freaking Jones is literally like one of the worst quarterback plays on this slate.
I'm not because Daniel Jones can, it's like Mariota. He can always get to 20 via rushing. But the real error that Sammy made was not just playing Justin Fields, who at this point, like, literally just has a 20-point floor. I thought if you weren't going to play Allen, Fields was the guy to play. That is my critique.
I don't think Mariota was nearly as bad. Mariota was in the second highest team.
Mariota is useless. And if you ever play Mariota in cash, please send me games. My DraftKings username is Davis Maddox.
I mean, the Giants are absolutely decimated. They have no skill position players other than Saquon Barkley. You literally played a guy who... we don't even know who is going to be running opposite Darius Slayton with Galladay being benched. Lawrence Cager, is that who our like wide receiver two is for this team that you're going to play a quarterback in cash in an awful context? Like,
what do you mean awful context?
It's
against the Lions, bro.
The total dropped like 2.5 points because there was like 30-mile-an-hour winds for the whole game.
I ain't playing Daniel Jones for his superiority through the
air. Yeah, but you need the passing stats though. The reason he got there was he got the fucking 300 yard bonus in a goddamn windstorm.
I mean, that's because he's just a stone alpha. He didn't earn the nickname Danny Dimes for nothing. I mean,
whatever this virus is.
I'm having a bad time.
He had 50 rushing yards and a touchdown. That's why so I got that. I mean, the bonus was a nice unexpected. I certainly I was thinking he'd get about 200 passing yards. Like, that was not like, oh yeah, Danny Dimes is going to throw for 350.
Also,
but he did.
Here's the thing, Sammy, your team, yeah. you got lucky. I'm not willing to entertain another opinion. Please roast Nate for not playing David fucking Montgomery against the Atlanta Falcons? what was going on in your brain to play Ramondre over David Montgomery, bro?
Dude, I described it. It's Fields' team, man.
He ate some bad duck eggs, and he was having a fever dream, and he was like, I got to play Ramondre over David Montgomery.
Is it the talent? Is it the talent gap, Nate, that you
no,
were
it's
working
not the
about?
Talent gap. It's honestly the workload gap. The reason David Montgomery became the
but
play
Khalil
of the week.
But Khalil Herbert is on the IR, bro.
I know. The reason he became the play of the week was because Khalil Herbert was on the IR. But the reality is Khalil Herbert isn't the reason that David Montgomery has not been performing at the level that he has. It's because he doesn't
the biggest
get the
reason
red zone.
Is that he stinks. I mean,
and
that's
he doesn't get the red zone. He doesn't have the touchdown expectation that any of these other running backs do. Because when they get into the red zone, Justin Fields is their RB1. And so at the end of the day, when we have Justin Fields running at a historical rate, paying $6,000 for David Montgomery, who's the only reason he shot up in value is because his backup was gone, not because anything changed with Justin Fields.
Well, and it was a good game environment.
Nate, if a report had come out about Montgomery that he was on the carnivore diet, would you have played him?
Absolutely. No, but honestly, if there was a report that came out that said that Fields was struggling with like a knee injury and there was going to be less design runs for Fields, that probably would have put me more on.
Well, that is basically what's happened. I mean, he got smoked in this game,
yeah,
and that's
halfway
what happened.
Through the game, and then the second half of the game they didn't run the ball with Fields at all. I mean, it was he was dealing with an injury, so there was no design runs in the second half, and it was like, yeah, I mean, obviously the Montgomery thing wasn't, it's not that he was a bad play, I just felt like Ramondre and Pierce, I don't know, I just felt better about their workloads.
Oh, we all played Damian Pierce. Here's the thing.
No more Damian Pierce. Or he's got to be significantly cheaper. He's got to be Brian Robinson price or whatever, because it's not that Damian Pierce is bad, but it's that the Texans, I mean, they are the worst team in the NFL, right? Like, is there even?
No.
There's not even a.
Even the Steelers are significantly better, and that's just shameful. But Damian Pierce, I mean, they were losing this game the whole time, right? They threw the pick six right off the bat, so they were just in the hole. And Damian Pierce got 3 targets, 2 for 9. Like, that's not going to cut it.
It's really not. Like, no more. I haven't pulled up salaries for next week, but my guess, by the way, also is that they're going to make things a little bit softer because, like, no one's having fun playing this iteration of the game where the last 2 weeks, tight end, double tight end being optimal, and I think double
it's
tight
awful.
End. Maybe even I want to say double tight end one turn like was the actual optimal last week, like won the spy, won the Millie Maker. I'd have to go back and look.
Nobody wins with double tight end, bro.
No one's having
no tight
fun
ends that went off
playing this iteration of the game. Which just stinks. I did think this was interesting though. So sort by ownership in the massive $25 double up. These are the scores. Josh Allen 65%, 12 points, Snowflake. Stephon Diggs 61%, 14 points, Snowflake. Steelers, 60%, 2 points, Snowflake. Paris Campbell got to 11. David Montgomery got to 21. CD, 51%, 9 points, Snowflake. Knox was the biggest smash of the slate. Like, if you played him, you got there. Damian Pierce, 44%, Snowflake. Dulcich got 7. Kenyon Drake, this is the biggest thing. I was not fucking falling for this Kenyon Drake thing. Like, people were like, look at the usage and Gus Edwards. And I'm like, dude, Kenyon Drake is on like his 9th team. Just no chance am I playing this dude. So that was
I played him in tournaments.
Absolutely insane.
I don't understand him catching that late steam. I mean, he was literally up to like 27 to 30% ownership
hold on. I'm not done with the snowflakes yet. Terry McLaurin, 25% snowflake. Dalton Schultz, 23% snowflake. Ugh. Saquon Barkley, 14% snowflake. Garrett Wilson, 13% snowflake. Vikings defense, 12% snowflake. Joe Mixon, 7% snowflake. Brian Robinson Jr., snowflake. Like, I mean, the degree to which points were not scored yesterday, I've never seen anything like it. It was incredible.
I'll tell you guys, 6 of my 9 slots were snowflakes and I essentially swept. Like that's the microcosm of the slate.
I also just realized I clicked because we're doing this on Monday morning, so I can go back and look at Levitan's article. I realized why I was so close to winning but didn't end up getting there. Levitan's team was a train.
Yep.
96.68 points. My team was not a train because I swapped and I had 93.38 points. So basically,
Kendall hitting out at the 1 yard line. Kendall, that is brutal.
Guys, I was losing my mind. How do you not rule that a touchdown? The deal is that it's supposed to be in, you know, evidence that cannot be overturned, right? So the call in the field stands unless there's clear evidence that it goes the other way. This dude is in the end zone. Ball goes inside the pylon. He doesn't. I literally do not understand how that was not ruled a touchdown. Like I thought, like, oh, easy game. Like Hinton outscores Dulcich. Raiders defense outscores the Steelers defense by 4. I'm like, I'm rich. Like I got this. We're good to go. You know, because the Bengals are marching down the field. The Steelers are generating no prep. Motherfucker. How? I mean, that is so annoying.
Davis, as a friend. And as somebody who played in his most important league, Kendall Hinton over Josh Palmer, I want to let you know that.
Have fun staying poor, Sammy.
Oh, God, dude, my ass is chapped. But as of, Jesus Christ, as of all these things, I need to tell you, Kendall Hinton was out of bounds, bro.
No.
He was out.
Here's the thing. If it was close enough, but they ruled it a touchdown on the field.
No, it was close enough that you're like, I'm so close to being rich. Just give it to me. It's like, no, dude, he was out. It sucks. But that's why he's Kendall Hinton, because he doesn't keep his damn foot in bounds.
Yeah, he's no Kadarius Toney. So a couple things. I did think about playing Nico Collins over Paris Campbell. There were like a couple different combos off of that. I didn't think that was terrible.
No.
What the smart people did, the best people played
Daniel Jones.
No, play Donovan Peoples-Jones over that spot. That was I didn't see it. Like,
how much
I didn't
was
see the,
how much was DVP?
He was 200 more. He was 200
DPJ.
More.
So yeah, DPJ was the
you had
play.
To make a sacrifice somewhere else. Like you would have had to have played Knox or something, right? But that ended up being a great combo. But I just want to say
anything over Dalton freaking Schultz would have been great because like that game was just like
got
on
out of
peyote.
Control.
Buddy, dude, I mean, literally, I lost $3,000 on prize picks because Schultz didn't get there.
Yeah.
I mean, I just had so many Schultz overs, and it was just like, what's happening?
I was with you. I thought Schultz was the premier play. Also, yeah. I just need to congratulate anyone who once again faded the cabal telling you to play Tyler Higbee. Like, I don't know what it is about Tyler Higbee. The shadowy cabal just, like, loves this dude. What was his stat line in the end?
I mean, he outscored Dulcich.
Let's go find out. I don't even
what
know.
If, Tyler what if Dulcich Higbee, isn't
he did.
Good.
He got 8.5 points. So he did outscore Dulcich.
Yeah. I mean, that was because Schultz was clearly the number one tight end that everybody was playing. And then the question was Dulcich or Higbee. And I with no cup, I do think the Higbee thing had more validity this week than any other. Like, I don't know. I don't think the Higbee thing was as bad as you do.
No, I mean, I just am morally and philosophically opposed to Tyler Higbee. That's really all it is. So I don't really have anything else on, this slate. I think my swap was really good. Like probably one of the best late swaps I've ever made, honestly, in terms of like getting direct leverage on the two spots. And the Steelers defense was always so thin anyways. All right. I actually had a mini sweat yesterday in the spot.
Wait.
Yeah.
Before we get, I want to justify my lineup a little bit more. Okay.
Sammy, nobody
there's nothing you can say that's going to make me agree that you played the right team.
You got lucky and you faded 60% own Josh Allen and 50 and 60% own.
Yeah. Like how often does that end well for you?
You guys are such bitter cucks. You guys are such bitter cucks.
Lucky.
No, listen to me. It's not about playing Daniel Jones over Josh Allen. It's that I got to play a premier running back, Joe Mixon, in a great spot instead of a second tight end who's going to go like 3 for 14 or whatever. Joe Mixon should have smashed. I should have scored like 20 more points than I did and outscored, like doubled your guys' score. Joe Mixon was a great play. as he was last week. Nate,
okay, Josh Allen, Joe and Stephon Diggs were also great plays.
Hey, Sammy, is TJ Watt back?
Yeah, he
sure is. See, you can't play running back. TJ Watt's back.
Yeah, well, all right, I'm taking the L, but I mean, it didn't matter to Samaje Perine. Like, you have to think Joe Mixon should have got some of that. You know what I mean? Like, Joe Mixon left super early with a concussion or whatever. You know, that team scored 37 points. Joe Mixon has great usage. I mean, I would have way rather played Joe Mixon, who's like a true workhorse back, than fucking busted-ass Josh Allen. Paying up for Josh Allen on this slate. It's like, you look in the mirror. You know, take accountability for yourselves. This is a bad choice.
I'm not going to let Sammy get away with this. I mean, that's... No. Josh Allen was not a bad player.
Yeah,
the entire betting market.
I'm flabbergasted that you guys won't take this L. Like, I can't believe it. I can't believe even in retrospect, you won't be like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have paid $8,300 to stack Josh Allen in cash.
But
like, unbelievable.
He was fine in that game. He just ran bad.
For sure.
Like, it would be one thing if he was out there, like, limping around or, like, flexing his hand all the time. He looked fine. It just happens sometimes.
Take your chips and leave, and don't, like...
And by the way,
60% owned.
Sammy was probably, like, babysitting his kids, so we didn't even see it. But Stephon Diggs dropped a touchdown. Like, he had one.
Stephon Diggs was having a mental breakdown the whole game. I mean,
he also caught a touchdown. You guys ran good to play Stephon Diggs and on five targets get what you got. You should be thinking
you got to zoom out on the chart, bro. Sammy is the guy who's like trading the 5-minute chart and being like, you know, just making massive conclusions. You need to zoom out on the chart, bro.
Please. Josh Allen threw the ball 27 times and had three rushes. And you guys are like, oh, yeah, I got to pay $8,300 for Josh Allen. Like, you've lost your brains.
So I can safely assume that means you're not going to be interested in Josh Allen on the Thanksgiving slate against the fucking Detroit Lions in 4 days. Mentally catalog this moment, because Sammy has declared that he's done. He's done with Josh Allen.
Hold on.
Buffalo bus. They only got two nights of sleep. Ah.
Oh, we got to talk about town. We haven't talked about Amari Cooper figuring out his sleep schedule. I mean, just absolute balling on a road game here. Do we think he listened to the show? And
I think he took some magnesium glycinate. He took some L-theanine, got some blue light blockers. He listened to the Huberman Lab podcast. He got some sleep.
Yeah, he's figured it out. He read Matthew Walker's book, Why We Sleep. Yeah, he got it. He got it all figured out. All right, let's do tournaments and then let's get out of here. I had a mini sweat yesterday, ended up not being close because the Bengals ended up going nuts in the fourth quarter, but I was top 50 in the smaller spy with 141 points. I played Jalen Hurts, Tony Pollard, Antonio Gibson, Gabriel Davis, Devonta Smith, Nico Collins, Grant Calcaterra, Jonathan Taylor, and the Jets defense. Obviously, the only reason that this team cashed, well, I guess Jalen Hurts at 25 was the second highest scoring quarterback of the slate, but Tony Pollard at 5%, he got 40. He was a good play, and that's really about it. I mean, really, yesterday, all you needed to win was Pollard or some combination of Joe Burrow and Higgins.
Jamal Williams.
Yeah, Jamal Williams is
pretty
like
much
not
everybody
owned.
In the top 10. Like, everybody like no in the one top played 10 had him. Higgins.
Yeah. Yeah. No one played Jamal Williams, which is interesting. I mean, to me, it was like Kenyon Drake was such a bad play. David Montgomery at 30% was such a bad play. Brian Robinson was like the worst play of the slate. So I loved Antonio Gibson. So the thesis hit. I really just needed a Devonta Smith touchdown or a Gabe Davis at 18% was actually terrible. That's a really bad play by me.
Everybody was thinking the same thing. They're like, well, I'll just pivot off Stephon Diggs, you know? But I thought it was funny. Davis was like texting us in the afternoon. He's like, I have a sweat. I'm top 20 in the spy with a zero. And I'm like, oh, shit, who got you a zero? And it was Craig Calcaterra. And it was like, of course he got you zero, bro. Like, obviously.
I mean, I played him in a couple other spots too. I actually thought there was a decent chance he was a good play. He didn't. I think he ended up running like 18 routes or something. But he's the more like natural receiving tight end or whatever. But they don't care because they have Devonta Smith and AJ Brown, so they're just gonna keep. They're just gonna use those guys. And Quez Watkins saw an uptick in routes and snaps too. But I thought just in general, I thought that was a well. Like, I mean, Jalen Hurts at 7%. Yeah. Fuck, are we doing, bro?
Yeah,
good, like, good lineup. Yeah. Good lineup.
I do just want to say though, like DraftKings. I mean, obviously you guys listen to the show. Just can we no more with these salaries, dude? Like having to even consider guys like Grant Calcaterra and Nico Collins every single week. Like this is not a fun version of the game.
Yes, there's it is. This is where the true alphas thrive, Davis.
No, there is a happy medium between like what FanDuel is a lot of the time, where it's truly play whoever you want, and having to play Grant Calcaterra. Like there's a different way to construct this game. But
your privilege is showing. I don't like this take. I hate when everybody's got the same players in the same teams. Like this is awesome.
But like in constructing tournament teams, when double tight end actually like makes sense. It's bad. It's not
fun. Yeah, it's not fun because tight end spoiler, is a horrible position.
Yeah, spoiler, it never makes sense. Don't do it.
Oh, well, that leads perfectly into my team.
Yeah, this is really my favorite part of the week when Nate shows up with these fucking random ass combos.
No, I felt good about this one. I've played tournaments differently after a couple weeks ago. So I went with the Dak double stack with Pollard and Noah Brown. Brought him back with Jefferson.
There it is. That's my guy with the Noah Brown play.
It was either Hinton or Brown. Those are the only two cheap wide receivers that you could have played.
What was Noah? So he's like 3,500. Noah Brown was.
He was 3,700, 1.3% owned. Dak
overpriced.
Pollard was 4.9%. And then I brought it back with Jefferson at 12%. Jefferson obviously did nothing.
I like this play.
And then I filled it out with Ramondre at 12%. Terry McLaurin at 16%. Kyle Pitts at 10%. And then Pat Freiermuth at 3% with Rams D. It was a min cash, but I felt good about the team. I think Pollard was like a great leverage spot, and then getting off CD with Noah Lamb felt good at the punt. So
let me just throw this out there. You guys are alphas for playing Tony Pollard. I was too mentally weak to do it. And man, what a smash.
Here's the thing. Had it been a stronger slate, had there been more obvious values, had I felt better about Kenyon Drake, had I felt better about, I mean, but it's like, what am I really sacrificing? Like Pollard's role was kind of fine before the Zeke, like Pollard had multiple, like, you know, 12, 13 point games when Zeke was getting all the work anyways. What was I losing between Kenyon Drake and Tony Pollard? What was I losing between Damian Pierce and Tony Pollard? Absolutely nothing. So like we were just complaining about the weakness of the slate, but, it actually, in terms of making the Pollard play, helped out. In a slate where there were like six really strong running back values, no way do I play Pollard.
Man, I smashed Pollard's over rushing yards on Prize Picks. It was 42.5, and he got it on the first drive, and it was just like, oh yeah, such an easy game. Yeah, I know you guys are proud.
All right, Hawkinson hurt me so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So my lineup, I also double stacked the Cowboys, but I did it in a really square and chalky way. It was Dak Schultz and Lamb.
Dak Schultz, Lamb.
Snowflake.
You're gonna give me crap about Noah Brown, and you played Dalton Schultz in tournaments.
Yeah. This is not good, friend.
Yep. 22% on tight end. Good job, Sammy.
Yeah.
I brought it back with Dalvin Cook. My thesis of the play was that Minnesota would smash the fraudulent Cowboys. And
God, this is the squarest shit, dude.
It was very square, bro. It was very square. I also squared it up and played Kenyon Drake in this lineup. Snowflake. I played
Sammy. Is this a joke? This is horrendous. This is a
this
lineup.
Is,
I
this
would
is,
play.
This is somehow squarer than your square ass Daniel Jones cash team, dude.
I played Garrett Wilson, Snowflake. I played Nico Collins, and I played the Raiders defense, which was mercifully only 3.7%. I thought that having Dalvin Cook, who was only 7% in this stack, would be like kind of unique, and it kind of was, but it just didn't work. This was my spy lineup, you know, single entry. So I don't know. This lineup sucked ass. It didn't even clear 80 points. It was like your guys' cash lineup. I mean, I could have played it against Nate and Cash and still cleaned up.
Nate's team didn't clear 80 points. I told you guys, I was winning for a good chunk of the afternoon. I must have been like Lamb must have had like one more catch or something. I mean, that's like
inbounds.
Yeah, that's not a very fun way to play slate though. Like just living on the razor's edge the whole time. Do we want to take a look at next week's salaries? See if they loosened it up a little bit.
It's Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah.
It's Thanksgiving.
Okay, let's look here.
Are we doing a Thanksgiving slate?
Do you guys want to?
I probably can. I should tell you guys right now, I'm going to Mexico. I may not be able to do the show for a couple of weeks.
What the fuck?
Serious? Yeah, I'll let you guys know live on air. I'm peacing out to Mexico. Viva la Mexico, baby! Yeah, you guys hang out. You're
listening to
snowy ass, nasty ass Midwestern states. I'm gonna go down to paradise and drink, you know, cervezas all day, margaritas. It's gonna be great.
All right, well, everyone, I guess you're finding out live on air that that Blender is gonna be joining us the next couple weeks. Maybe you know what? Maybe we'll get Pete to do Cash Game Week a week early or something.
Or maybe Cash Game Week on Thanksgiving.
Maybe we'll have Levitan come on or something. I don't know. I'll send some messages. We'll get it figured out. Do we got anything else? I guess, are we going to leave it on the note that Sammy's abandoning us to go to Mexico?
Yeah, I'm going to take all my beautiful Daniel Jones money and spread it around international waters.
Okay, you enjoy that. All right, everyone, we're getting out of here. Thanks for listening.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.